The Steve Gruber Show. American values with Midwestern common sense.
All right. It's something we've talked about here in the past. Certainly not a new idea, because the expansion, the American energy renaissance over the last decade has placed in jeopardy Russia's stranglehold of producing and delivering energy to Europe and other nations. And it's putting a stranglehold on it. America's resurgence has also driven the price of oil down, which is why we've enjoyed cheap gasoline for the last 3 or 4 years now. Cheap. It was over $4 a gallon. You remember that? Now it's been $2.25, $2.50 for a long time. Think about the tens of thousands of dollars you've saved. Well, now we're learning more about the idea, and this is not a necessarily new idea, but it's getting a lot more traction, that Russia is colluding with environmentalist groups to try to drive the narrative that fracking is bad and fracking should go away. Of course they're driving that. I mean, they have no other alternative. Valerie Richardson from the Washington Times joining me now. Valerie, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And you wrote a terrific piece about Lamar Smith and Randy Weber, members of Congress, that are saying, listen, it's pretty clear that Russia is funding U.S. environmental groups in an effort to suppress our domestic oil and gas industry, specifically hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, as they call it. Valerie, tell us what you learned.
Yeah, what we saw was that on Friday, the chairman of the House Science, Space, and Technology Committee, Lamar Smith, he and Randy Weber sent a letter to the Treasury Department, to Steve Mnuchin, asking for an investigation. They'd like the administration to conduct an investigation into whether or not Russia is funding indirectly environmental groups and anti-fracking activism in order to, you know, suppress what you describe as, you know, aptly as an energy revolution in the United States with oil and natural gas that's being driven by technologies, you know, primarily hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling. And because this is not something that's a recent allegation. I mean, I would say for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, you've been hearing speculation that Russia is somehow getting money to these groups, and they lay it out in a letter. In their letter, they cite various reports pointing to the involvement of a group called Klein Limited, which is a shell company in Bermuda. And the way they describe it, Klein Limited is believed to be funneling money from Russia to foundations like the Sea Change Foundation, which is based in San Francisco, which funds a lot of environmental groups.
Let me jump in here. And the Sierra Club, I want to get back to that in just a second. But do these groups know the origin of the money, or are they just obtuse to it all?
No, they would have no reason to know, you know, when they get a donation from Sea Change Foundation, where that money comes from. You know, it could be individuals, it could be, you know, countries like Russia. I mean, they just don't know. So, yeah, so you have to point out that, you know, these environmental groups, you know, there's no reason that they would know where Sea Change's money would be coming from. And Sea Change doesn't have to disclose its donors. It's a 501c3 private foundation. It does not have to tell people where it's getting its money from.
That's kind of
where the secrecy is. And that's what the committee would like to see the Treasury Department track down.
Well, there you go. So I want to jump back to this, because this is just kind of a side note of history for folks. John Muir is the man that founded the Sierra Club. And you've probably heard of Glacier Bay. Most people have. But it's interesting to note that in 1870, when John Muir saw Glacier Bay for the first time, you know what was missing from Glacier Bay? Glaciers. Because they had already melted. And that's why it was called Glacier Bay. It wasn't called Glacier Ice Formation. It was called Glacier Bay because it was already gone in 1870. He was an interesting environmentalist and good friends with Teddy Roosevelt later in his life. And it was an important guy who did some important things. But the hysteria, the silliness, has got to stop, and the fact that the Russians are paying for it really comes to me as no surprise. Go on.
So in any event, what they're looking for is an investigation into, you know, where Klein, whether or not Klein is funneling money from Russia. And obviously, you know, if we talk about motive, Russia clearly has motive here. I mean, last month, for the first time, the United States sent natural gas to Poland. Poland has long been, along with the rest of Eastern Europe, Russia's biggest client for its oil exports. All Russia's exports, like 68%, involve oil. And so if Russia were to lose that edge and the United States would start encroaching on that market, I mean, that would, you know, obviously be pretty devastating for Russia economically.
It would be a game changer.
So cheap in the United States because it's become so easy or so inexpensive to access what with the new technology.
Yeah, I've talked about this for a very long time in this program. It is a game changer. If we can supply liquefied natural gas to Europe, because Europe is often held basically at gunpoint, if you will, especially during the winter months, places like Poland and Hungary and Eastern Europe, because the Russians say, you know what, we're going to raise your price, and if you don't do what we tell you you're going to do, then we're going to just withhold the natural gas altogether. They do that, of course, in the winter when people are trying to heat their homes, and Russia holds them hostage to the energy. America, of course, would never do that. The other part of that is, that all of that money would go into American pockets, American industry, American workers. You and I would benefit because of great taxes coming into America. It's a win for all of us. And so it makes perfect sense that the Russians would try to exploit anything they could on the backs of liberalism, especially, to prevent us from continuing in this renaissance.
And so far, you have to note also, you know, how the environmental movement is doing when it comes to, you know, cracking down on hydraulic fracturing. Three states have banned fracking so far, Maryland, Vermont, and New York. And I will point out that none of those states actually had fracking at the time. Generally, when you see these fracking bans, it's in places that don't have fracking. But New York, the southern tier of New York is right next to Pennsylvania, where you have the Marcellus Shale, which is an enormous resource of oil and natural gas. And the people who live in the southern tier and upstate were very upset when the governor pretty much unilaterally banned fracking in the state, because economically they're struggling. And in fact, there have been movements since he decided to do that, which was in late 2015, mm-hmm. To basically say, hey, can we just join Pennsylvania? You know, can we break off this section of New York and maybe, you know, become a part of their state?
Well, here's an important consideration, Valerie. Valerie Richardson here with us from the Washington Times, who did a great piece on the Russian funding of anti-fracking efforts. But here in Michigan, fracking has been going on since 1949, longer than anywhere. Fracking has been conducted in Michigan with no actual adverse effects on the environment. It's a great case study. But there is the possibility coming up in fall of 2018, we could see an anti-fracking measure on the ballot, just like you've seen in Vermont, New York, and Maryland, like you mentioned. So it's a big deal here in Michigan because we do produce natural gas from fracking here in Michigan. We've done it for more than half a century, since 1949, without adverse effects, and it's still going to make it to the ballot. So this connection is extremely important, Valerie. I'll give you the last word.
I thanks for letting me know about Michigan. I know that in Colorado, they've fought a lot of these measures as well. In Colorado, a number of, you know, small liberal cities have passed anti-fracking measures. Those have all been defeated in court, basically. But clearly, the movement's got a lot of energy right now. It not just from, you know, whether or not Russia's funding them, but from billionaires in San Francisco like Tom Steyer, who put a lot of money into this effort as well.
Delusional billionaires like Tom Steyer, I think is what you meant to say, but you won't say it. I will. It's okay. I'm here to help, Valerie. I'm your guy. Valerie, great conversation. And yes, stay in touch, because Michigan could have a ballot initiative, and we've done fracking longer than anyone. Good resource for you. Valerie Richardson from the Washington Times, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you have it. Valerie Richardson, it's the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.